the Lord and His goodness. We appreciate you for being with us today. What an incredible God we serve. He is good to us. He wants the best for our lives. That's why He gives His best. You didn't get something that was not going to work. It works. What He gave works. And so today we are going to finish up Hunger and Thirst After Righteousness. Now remember, every one of these, they're ongoing. You never really finish, but we got to find a spot to stop, to go on. So I encourage you to continue in this. We're here to point you in the right direction. The Word of God is powerful. It's incredible. And God absolutely wants the best for all of us. So the Word of God is full. It's rich. Whatever you need, it'll be there for you. It'll give you what you need. You can, if whatever you want to, however you want to feast. Pastor Josh talked about being, you know, starved. You know, are you hungry, that hungry? Well, you say, man, I'm starved. How many of you ever said that, use that word, starving? Yes, you ever use that word? I'm not sure, you know, in America, starving is kind of like, it's really being, you're just kind of really adding to what hunger means. I mean, I've seen starving people. And that's, so I don't know if we've ever hit that point. So maybe that's a problem. Yes. Maybe that we get so full of this so much, we don't know really what it means to really hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because we apply it to our own lives. And that's what happens. Our life is, he don't use some analogy that we can't relate to. We relate to our own bodies, our physical bodies. And so I'm sure you've used that term. You're working all day or whatever, and you skip lunch, and you're just going for it. I mean, you're going to wait until supper time, and then you'll go, man, I'm so hungry. But what if there was something that you knew you was going to have? You knew what you was going to have for supper, and it was your favorite, with that special sauce on it. You start thinking about it, what happens in your mouth? You automatically, you know, when you smell something, your body produces the exact saliva you need for the digestion of what you smell before you even ate it. Because God made us. How many know God's smart? He said, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You ever thought about yourself that way? Wonderfully made? So your design is perfect. Your design as a physical human being is perfect. But how many of you ever saw some imperfections in ourselves? Is that God's fault? Think about that. You were made perfect. Your design is perfect, but we got imperfections in ourselves. Is that God's fault? Well, the Lord made me this way. Think about that. We use all these terms. I'm starving. The Lord made me this way. I don't know what else to do about it. Today, I'm going to tell you what to do about it. I'm just going to give you some information, and you can do whatever you want with it. You can do nothing. But if you do nothing, next year this time, you'll still be in the same condition you're in. And year after year, we get so used to being in that condition, we don't see any hope. That's what happened to the children of Israel after Joseph died. When Joseph died, a new Pharaoh took on, they saw themselves in that condition year after year after year. Not just 10 years, not 20 years, not 30 years, not 100 years, over 400 years. That's a lot of generations. And then there was somebody, what many, but there was somebody in that group that says, we still serve Yahweh, and He is going to hear us. And God heard their cry. He called Moses on the backside of a desert and said, I hear the cry of my people. You got to go tell Pharaoh, let him go. See how merciful God is? Remember we talked about this side? The merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemaker, and the persecuted for righteousness' sake. These are things that we have to have this type of fruit in our life. But you can't have that fruit unless you get these. They're not even yours. So we're going to take some time next week's Shavuot, the week following. We're going to go through this in a single week. We're going to do all four of them in a single week, because all our job is to point you in the right direction. Right here, we spend a lot of time because this is necessary to your life. This right here is very necessary. If you don't accomplish these right here, you can never do these. You can hope to do them. You might think you did them, but you never have unless you mastered these three. The poor in spirit is critical. Now, Pastor Josh pointed out something last night. It was very powerful. The prodigal son first had to realize that I'm nothing. He had to come to himself, right? And then he mourned over his sin. And then he said, make me a what? A servant, meekness. And then after that, what was prepared for him? The fatted calf. How many got that? It's just simple stuff that's in the Word of God that we wouldn't have been able to plot, connect those two if we wouldn't took some time to look at this. You think maybe that Yeshua knows what he's doing? Sometimes we don't act like he does because we don't take his advice. He knows what he's doing. He's pointing us in the right direction. So in this series, again, we're going to deal with hungering and thirst for righteousness. And we're going to wrap this up today. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hunger and thirst. Very important phrases that we have to continue to keep in mind. Because if you're not hungry for it, you can't be force-fed as much as we want to. Now, if you didn't listen to the tape about planes and trains, you ought to. Last night, there was a kind of a joke going on, and there was this video. And this video showed gladiators. What's the guy's name in Gladiators? Russell Crowe. Well, he's walking, and there's a bunch of guys that's got a fight that day. And he comes out, and there's five or six guys that he got a fight all by himself. So he walks out there, and he puts a whooping on them like you had never seen. Like he just flowing, you know. And then he turns around, and he says, are you not entertained? So after I preach today, I'm going to ask that question. Are you not entertained? So we got different appetites. Some people want entertainment. That's their appetite. So if you don't entertain them, sing the right song, preach the right verse, they just didn't get a whole lot out of that. Think about that. Today I'm just going to lay out the simple passages of Scripture that we go around every day, or we should, and show you what God is talking about. I want you to be able to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness. And there's plenty. It's not going to run out. Remember, I remember us having dinners here, right, at church, and certain dessert comes out. Starts with a B. Right? Starts with a B. Everybody knows what that dessert is? Blueberry Delight. The only thing that's good for you in the Blueberry Delight is the blueberry. But the rest of the stuff, it sure tastes good. And just make them blueberries slide down really nice. So what happens is when the Blueberry Delight comes out, everybody, like in the middle of like spoonful going to mouth, they go, the Blueberry Delight, boom, drop that plate and go get the other plate. Because they know what's going to happen to the Blueberry Delight. It's going to run out. So you come a little late and you go, man, they have Blueberry Delight? And you're thinking about it. Oh, man, I would have loved to have some of that. But it goes quick. Because you have an appetite for that. And you love it. It's good. See, I'm preaching already. You don't even know it. You think I'm just talking. So that's what we ought to be like to righteousness. You know, we all sitting around here in church and the meal is being presented. And all of a sudden, somebody starts talking about righteousness. You go, righteousness, righteousness, drop that. You've been eating on this and it's good for you and it's getting you full. But you dropping that because you're after what? Righteousness. That's a person who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. You're willing to stop that because you know that. But blueberry delight will run out. But righteousness, he's got plenty. Your righteousness is like a mighty mountain. Think about that. How many ever ate a mountain? Can you imagine that? There's plenty. So if you lack in righteousness, it's not because it's out. It didn't run out. You can have all you want. Pull up to that mountain and start digging in, because his righteousness is like a mighty mountain. Very important. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse 24. We're going to look at 24 and 25. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree. Talking about Yeshua. That we being dead to sin, should live unto what we live to. Dead to sin, live to what? Righteousness. By whose stripes ye were healed. Now understand that word were is an important word. Not going to be, were. Meaning when he did what he did, it was already put into place healing for everyone. But there are certain things that bring healing to the body. Because how many know the body's smart? Very smart. So by whose stripes you were healed. Not God needs to do something for me. I don't know if I'm going to make it. You got to catch up with what he's already done. How do you do that? Hunger and thirst for righteousness. What promotes healing? Hunger and thirsting for righteousness. Remember, I gave an example a few weeks ago, and I didn't use it, but I just kind of mentioned the example. So if I put a table over here, and this table is going to be full of junk food. How many know what junk food is? All right, I won't have to mention anything because you know what junk food is. Who likes junk food? All right, and then over here would be healthy food. All right, so we got healthy food. You know what healthy food is. So there'll be two arrows like this. One's going this way and the other one's going that way. And one of them leads to life and the other one leads to death. When you put it that way, you might not want to eat so much from this table, but this is the way my appetite is. And I'm convinced that the church today is just got an appetite for junk food. I gave an example. Again, this is not a nutrition class. This is me preaching, okay? So don't take this wrong. If you're drinking water, that leads to what? Life. The body needs water. It demands water. It needs to have it. So you're drinking water, it leads to life. So water wouldn't be on the junk food table. But if I got Diet Coke over here, or Pepsi, whatever one you want, don't matter. How does that lead to life? We're just talking in general here. This is not a time to get quiet and, oh, he's talking about me. How do you know I drink that? And I'm not doing the nutrition. You drink what you want. What I'm going to teach you today is how do you fast from legitimate things. Why do I need a fast from legitimate things? So you can have things that are right, that you're not going to preach on those things, that they're wrong. They're right things. Just things that you enjoy. But having them all the time is not good for you. We got to learn to fast from those things. And we're going to get on that today. So why do I do that? To cultivate a good appetite. so I can produce in my life good appetite. How do you do that? Short-term goals. Everybody say short-term goals. Now, who's been practicing on my one I challenge you with? 21 days, give 60 seconds to God first thing in the morning. 21 days, can you do it? You know what happens? When you can't do it, it's not you don't have that habit yet. Because a habit, you don't have to think about it, you do it automatic. If it's a habit, you automatically do it. That's why it's called habit. It's something you don't have to think about. Nobody's got to remind you of it. It's a habit. We need more habits that are good in the church world. We got a lot of bad habits. This just comes with the territory because we live in a society that's not for you. Satan comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. We already know that. We live in that world, and he is the ruler of that world. He rules that world. But we have changed sides. We have changed sides. We're not underneath that anymore. When you get born again, you're saying, I changed sides, and now I'm under the rulership of Messiah. I yoked up with him. That's where I learned meekness at. Now, what my job is to hunger and thirst for righteousness. What is that telling me? Get a good habit in your life. If you can't do, let that be a good short-term goal. You get up in the morning, the clock goes off. 60 seconds. Is that a hard goal to reach? 60 seconds. That's not hard. But if you can't do that one, you're going to need more than one goal. Trust me. To hunger and thirst for righteousness, you're going to need more than one goal. But if you start there and you accomplish that and you do it for 21 days, you've reached something. You think after 21 days, I reached my goal. I don't have to do it no more. That shouldn't be your hard attitude. If you did it right, you're going to want to keep doing it. It's going to be a part of your life now. You're not even going to think about it. When the clock goes, you're going to sit there and say, Father, I just thank you for giving me my breath today. I thank you for my life. I need you today. I can't make it without you today. You're everything to me. Guide my footsteps today. These are conversations you're having with God. What is prayer? A conversation with God. That's what it is. Some folks say, I don't know how to pray. You know how to talk. You can have a conversation with your neighbor, with your friend, your husband, and your wife. A prayer is a conversation with God. You're talking with God. 60 seconds. It's easy to do. Set some goals in your life. You got to have them. If you don't have them, you got nothing to push toward. If you got nothing to push toward, you're going to live your life that way. What you doing today? I don't know. If you ask me what I'm doing on any given day, and I tell you I don't know, something's wrong with me. You understand? There's goals that you set in your life that's important. Now, the latter part of this, verse 25, for ye were as sheep going astray, tells us who we are. What we were like? As sheep going astray. So he uses an example of human beings being as sheep going astray. You're lost. But are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. But now we return. And so how many thank God for that? The purpose of the passion of Yeshua Messiah is that we should have a passion for righteousness. We should have a passion for righteousness. Messiah died to redeem a people who no longer live for themselves. Let me see that. He died to redeem a people. Remember, it cost. There's a reason we sit here. It costs. I just can't get over that. Somebody laid their life down for me. What am I doing? To show my appreciation, what am I doing that somebody died for me? He redeemed the people who no longer live for themselves, but who live with a passion for what? Holiness. Think about that. If I got a passion for holiness, I probably won't be doing the things that I shouldn't do. Because I got a passion for what? Holiness. Can you reach holiness in a single day? Think about that. Can you reach holiness in a single day? It's not going to happen. You're going to have to set some short-term goals and accomplish those goals. You got to create good habits. That's how you reach it. You don't just get saved and all of a sudden you're it. You're a saint. We got work to do. There are going to be some battles we're going to face. What do I do in the battle? What do I do when I'm facing the storm? What's my disposition? What's my posture? Am I still shouting praises? Do you praise him in the storm? in a difficulty, a circumstance. All these things is what tells where we are. You need to know where you are in God. And you can't say, well, I believe. You can believe all you want. You believe where you are. What tells where you are is what is your response to the last circumstance you was in. That really tells. So we don't kid ourselves. Did I react the way I should have? If you didn't, we still got to work on it. Let me just tell you this. All of these right here, every one of these, I know we took a long time to explain them. Every one of these can be accomplished in a single day. Just so you know this. Every one of these can be accomplished in one single day. Every one of them. How long does it take for a man to realize that when he stands before God, he is in poverty, he's stricken, he's a beggar? How long does that take? You understand my point? How long does it take that a man can cry over his sins and repent and say, I can't believe I did this. It hurt me. It hurt my family. And most of all, it caused death of Yeshua Messiah. And I ought to cry over that. When's the last time you cried over the fact that he died because of you? He died because of me, the way I act, the way I did in my life, the way I treat, because I deserve death. But he died so I don't have to face that penalty. What a mourn over that. Next thing, now I'm going to submit my life to his way. Not my way no more. Let me tell you, it's hard to get out of when it's you and get into a yoke where you got to flow. It's very difficult. It's not easy. But what you do that because you know it's the right thing to do. You become meek. You realize it's time for you to get used to the hand, and he's going to get you where you need to be. And then fourth, what are you going to do? What does it drive you to do? You get a passion and a hunger for righteousness. That's what happens. All of them can be accomplished in a single day. If it takes you a year, at least you're moving in the right direction. I always tell people, if you're moving in the right direction, I got no problem with that. But if you're doing absolutely nothing to help yourself, that's a shame. Remember, after 30 years, you shouldn't be having a spoon feed nobody. We don't like the way it tastes, but remember, we the one got us there. You understand that? And that's important for us to grab hold to. But seek ye first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first what? The kingdom of Elohim and his what? Righteousness. What are we hungering and thirsting for? Righteousness. Remember, that's important. So he drops these little four strategies for cultivating a healthy appetite for Yahweh. How many want to know that? Four strategies for cultivating a healthy appetite for Yahweh. Number one, gain momentum from the first three Beatitudes. Gain momentum from the first three. And what happens? I get here. That develops a good, healthy, how to cultivate a good appetite. Right here, by the time you get here, you got to be starving and ready to just take in all the righteousness that's given to you. And righteousness comes in different forms. It comes in methods that God will test you with. You got to be able to hunger for that righteousness. Always see yourself that I can do better. What did I fail to do today? This is very important. The Beatitudes are progressive. Each Beatitude assumes the one that have gone before. So you assume by the time you get here that you've been through the others because they're progressive. You can't just hunger and thirst for righteousness. You have to start from the beginning. We've pictured them like rings that are reached by momentum you gain from swinging on the previous ones. That's how you gain. You get here because you swung on those. Not to mention, until you've accomplished this one, you will never in your lifetime accomplish these. It won't happen. These are residual effects of those. These happen in your life automatic. If you plant an orange tree, this is what you're doing. You're planting. Then the orange tree grows. And sometimes it takes a little time. But you're going to go out one day and it's going to be in full blossom. And them blossoms, they'll last for a while and it smells delicious. How many has experienced this? It smells delicious. And then the blossoms will start falling. But that's not the end. What's right underneath where the blossom was? It's the fruit. It's the fruit. And the tree is so full of fruit. But what did you plant? If you plant oranges, you're going to get oranges. This is the oranges by the planting that took place. But if there's no planting, to think you can have oranges is absolutely crazy. That's crazy world. We don't want to live in crazy world, do we? Don't kid yourself. If you didn't plant, you can't get a harvest. It's just that simple. So you say, well, I'm trying to be merciful, but this guy, I'm about to wring his neck. There you go. I can tell you, what's my problem? Pastor, I don't know what my problem is. Oh, let me tell you. I just spent, I don't know how long we've been on here, but it's been a while. Weeks, months, trying to tell you what your problem is. But you over here say, you know, I want to be pure in heart, but they just pull my last string. I want to be a peacemaker, but I can't help myself. I got a comment. They shouldn't have said it. What's my problem? Oh, boy. You're not entertained? Blame Brother Scott for that. This doesn't mean you have to spend a week poor in spirit and a month mourning over sin before you can move on. The momentum of realizing your poverty before Yahweh, seeing your own sin, submitting yourself unconditionally to the will of Yahweh may happen all at once. That's what's so incredible. That's the power of the Spirit of God. He's not saying, well, you messed your life up for 30 years, so it's going to take you 30 years to get over here. You know what the power of the Spirit? It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any sword. It comes in. It does what it needs to do. And all of a sudden, you're there. You don't have to leave this building until you're over here swinging. You got these residual effects happening in your life. That's what's so good about the power of God. Though your sins be as scarlet, you'll be made white like snow. How incredible is that? Only God can do that for you. But you got to have a healthy appetite. And we got to work on these things because it's important for our life. Yahweh may birth all of this in your life, in your heart with great power today. The point is simple, that if we progress, progress is to be made, none of these elements which we have pictured as rings can be missed. You can't miss a one of them. You can't bounce around. I like this one. I don't like that one. You don't get to choose. Remember, who's the speaker? Yeshua is telling you, he's laying the guidelines out. He's giving commentary to the Torah. He's explaining to us, if you're going to follow the law, like my father wants you to take his counsel, you got to do these things. You talk about a great commentary. Go to Matthew 5 and there you go. You're well on your way. So you can't start at the fourth beatitude and decide that you want to have a great hunger for holiness. But here's the encouragement. If you become poor in spirit, mourn over your sins, and submit your life to the will of Elohim, you will find that a true hunger and thirst for righteousness springs from those roots. Roots, fruit. Roots, fruit. Can I get fruit without roots? So you plant a tree. The blossoms gets on it, and you go out there, and you dig the thing up and throw it on the side. Remember I talked about crazy world? That's crazy. Who would do that? You waited, you planted the tree, it come full of blossoms. That'd be like Dad and Uncle Preston, they got trees, right? They plant their trees, and they love their trees, right? I think they go and pet them sometimes. Getting them used to the hand or something. So listen, wouldn't it be crazy if you went out there and say, listen, I'm just giving his voice, right? That tree got blossoms all over it, and he got a shovel in his hand. She says, what are you doing with that shovel? I'm going to dig it up. It's going to be fine. I'm going to just throw it on the side. We're going to, what's going to happen to it? It's going to die. All that effort, all that work's going to die. Then do you get fruit? Impossible to get this. This is what we should be living like right here. But we get it because we leave it planted. We let it do its work. This is the root. This is the fruit. I hope that helps you understand this. Number two. Everybody say, I'm listening, because this is one you got to listen to. Practicing fasting from legitimate pleasures. Legitimate pleasures. Well, I call them legitimate pleasures because I'm not going to say that the things you're doing is wrong. They're legitimate pleasures, but you ought to practice fasting from those things. That's how you start good habits and you cultivate a good appetite. If anyone come after me, let him deny himself. That's a good one. We don't want deny myself, but myself loves these things. I say to myself, self, you're about to get what you want. And we go on and give it. And we love it, right? Especially if we're pulling up to Blueberry Delight. Uh-huh. Self, it's about to happen for you. You're about to be so happy, self. But once you back away from it, when you know you can have it, but you say, we're not doing that. Fast from legitimate pleasures is how you cultivate good appetite. You got to be able to fast from that. Take some time off. He denies himself, he takes up his cross and follows me. These are things that we have to do. So what's the legitimate pleasures that you do in your own personal life? Sometimes you got to fast from it. And I can mention several of them. I can give you a list this long on some of the things that just pops up in my mind. But I'll let you do that. You know which ones they are. I can't say that they're wrong, but they're becoming wrong because you won't let them go. Not even for a moment. Why do you think God says fasting is important to our life just in general, to physical condition? Because when you fast, you're giving your body a break so it can catch up with all the stuff we've been putting in. We're talking about physical body, not spiritual. We're talking about us right here. You take some time and you might skip a meal. You might skip a whole day. Fasting is important for your life. It's valuable to your life. And let's apply that obvious principle from the world of the body to the world of the soul. Legitimate pleasures at the wrong time in the wrong amount will spoil your appetite for holiness. How many of you ever, you had a legitimate hunger? Maybe you didn't eat all day and you were going to have supper. But on your way home, you were so hungry, you stopped and got a Coke and a Snicker. And you got home, and there was your meal, and you weren't, I'm really not hungry no more. Why? Because you did something before you got to take in what you really like. You did something, and it spoiled your appetite for holiness. Remember, that's what we're dealing with. That's why you got to cultivate a good appetite. What would have been better? Wait the 5 minutes. I said five. That it took you to get home and have something that could bring nourishment to you. But that's what we do. We have an appetite for junk. And we're going to pay the consequence for that. How many of you know you pay the you can't skip out on it. You pay the consequence. It's just what it is. Let's apply that obvious principle from the world of the body to the world of the soul. Legitimate pleasures at the wrong time. I'm not saying you can't have those things. Remember, because I know how this gets. We already got a long list of you can't do's. That I'm just telling you they're legitimate, but should you do it? Just because you can, should you? It depends what your goal is. If you have no goal, you're going to. Because you can't beat yourself. You're going to do it because you don't have any goals. But if you have a goal, you won't do it. Because you goal set in your life. And I tell in Charlotte this, if you don't goal set, you're going to have a difficult time in your life. We were just talking in general, what people need to help themselves. You got a goal set. And you start off, I gave you one good example, 60 seconds of a day. Can you set that aside for the Lord? Can you do that? Should it be hard to do that? Well, it's going to be at the beginning, because if you haven't done it, it's going to be tough, because your habit is to just jump up and go do what you're going to do. Now, think about that moment. It's very important for us to understand. Legitimate pleasures can make you dull and sluggish in following after Messiah. Legitimate pleasures, when I'm talking about things that you shouldn't do, because things you shouldn't do, you shouldn't do. Why am I having to preach on things you shouldn't do? You already know you shouldn't. We're talking about legitimate things that you do. There's nothing wrong with them, but they will make you sluggish when it comes to follow Messiah. They can spoil your hunger and thirst to be all that you can be for Yahweh. Some of you can look back to a time in your life when you had a great passion to live all out for Yeshua Messiah. If that's the case, then definitely you're not doing stuff in your life that fosters good appetite. You're not cultivating good appetite. If you look back in your life and you see there was a time that you was on fire for God and you're not doing that now, it ain't nobody else's fault but yourself. Where's your passion at? You say, I can remember I just wanted to sing for the Lord. And you're not singing. Why? I remember when I wouldn't miss a church service for nothing. Why? That's up to you. It's your decision. You got to make that decision. Cultivate a good appetite. I would read my Bible. I would make the Bible study, whatever it is. I can remember a time I prayed every day, or I read my Bible every day. Whatever that is, and you're not doing it no more, how is that somebody else's fault? Because remember, what makes you sluggish is putting you doing a legitimate thing too much. Practice fasting from it, whatever that is. Maybe some of you like, let me just name some because I don't think you're following me. Maybe you're a sports addict. You like sports. That's fine. You're not going to ever hear me saying you shouldn't watch sports. That's fine. If you want to watch, you like basketball, football, baseball, whatever it is. At one time, I was passionate about those things. I had it. Some NFL, what it was called, I had? Yeah, the thing you get, and you get every game every Sunday, no matter where they played. I bought the thing. It wasn't free. I paid money for it. So because I paid for it, I thought I had to watch them all. So come after church, I got home, I went straight to the couch. It was on. And then I watched it on Thursday. I watched that because that's what I was into it, right? Well, probably what I needed to do is fast from that for a while. It's a legitimate pleasure, but maybe at the wrong time. Because I want to get some. I got like this list that I'm asking God for. And he wants to do it for me, but he can't do it because I'm not hungry and thirsting for righteousness. I'm only wanting the things on my list. How many could use a little bit more money? Let me see your hand. Because sometimes I don't know if y'all participating. Y'all looking at me, but I seen people looking at me and they out. I want you awake. So every now and then I might get you to raise your hand or kick your foot or something because I want to know you're here. Now, how many could use a little bit more money? That wouldn't hurt your pocketbook. That wouldn't hurt your feelings. You had a little bit extra income. Well, what you got to do is you got to say, how do I get there? So I'm going to pray about it. Lord, I need more money. Now, is he concerned about that? Well, of course he is. He's concerned about everything you're going through. But what he wants you to do, seek first more righteousness. Because let's go back to the money verse. I just read it to you in Matthew. What chapter? Verse what? 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But the word verse starts with but. You know what that tells you? Get your butt back up to the previous verses and find out why he said that. Why did he say it? Have no anxiety about anything. Don't worry about what your clothes, what your food, what your housing. He said God knows you need those things. And he explains all of that. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things, the ones up there, shall be added unto you. He knows you need these things. He wants you to have these things, but they come in order. What promotes fruit? More money would be what? Fruit in your life. How do you get there? You got to plant a little bit. If you got no seed in the ground, if you got nothing that you're working towards, you can't expect fruit if you didn't do this. It's impossible to have. Again, that's living in crazy world. And we know we don't want to be there. Right? Legitimate pleasures can make you dull, sluggish, and following Messiah. They can spoil your hunger and thirst to be all that you can be for Yahweh. Some of you can look back in a time in your life when you had a great passion to live all out for Yeshua Messiah. I remember it. I can come put my hand on your head this morning when I knew you had a great passion. I don't know what's the deal, but I'm going to preach it to you. Are you not entertained? What happened? The appetite was spoiled by legitimate comforts and pleasures. That's what happened. They're legitimate. And because they're legitimate, you've accepted them as the way your life's going to be. That's fine. But you're going to have some. Now, I was naming, right? So the other one, well, Brother Josh, he pointed this out. He had a TV control with him and a phone with him. But we can go in many places. What takes up most of your time? What's taking up most of your time? Maybe you like playing games. Maybe you like being on your phone. I don't know. Whatever that is. Maybe it's just work. Well, you know, gotta work. You don't work all the time. You don't work all the time. I can tell you. Think about schedules. I'll show you my schedule. About busy and working. What is the excuse is that? There's no excuse for that. A passion for holiness is you're going to make sure that you don't give up God's time for the time that is. You can't do that, because then what do you want? You want God to just drop it on you? He'll bless what you're doing if you're doing something. But there, you have schedule. You schedule your life and you set short-term goals. You have to do it. When do I have personal reading time? Personal reading time. One of the things that I was doing that wasn't right, and I can't make it right. I can't make it right regardless. I can come here, and if I want to, I could probably sell it to you and you'd buy it. But to me, remember, to me it wasn't right. I was taking my study time, and I was using my study time as my personal time. That was, Lord, I just studied for 4 hours. That got to be enough. But that was God using the ministry or the calling, the gifting, and we were going through verses in Scripture and applying it to messages or series and getting that done. That's not personal time. And that's what I did for a long time. I said, man, I don't have to read my Bible. I'm reading it. But I didn't distinguish that there was a difference. Now, that wasn't nobody's fault but mine. And the Lord convicted me one day. He said, you know what? We spend a lot of time doing this. Hours we doing this. Where's the time that just you and me spend? Where's that at? I went, okay, I can try to make my case with God, but who am I going to kid here? I have to have personal time where I'm not studying to do a message here. It's my own personal time where I'm feeding myself with the word of God. And so I had to learn that. And so what I did, I cultivated that appetite by goal setting. You cultivate that appetite, it changed your life. There's no reason for us to be that way. So we could kid ourselves. And you might say, well, that wasn't a bad, I mean, you're in the Bible all the time. That has nothing to do with your own personal time that you're spending with God. Personal prayer time, personal Bible reading, all of those can't be sacrificed. What I can call a good habit by studying. Studying is not wrong, but it can't be the thing that I'm consumed with that takes up my personal time with God. Can't happen. Because then it'll get, you think you're ready for something and you're really not. It's very important. So, did I name enough? I named a few. Take some time. Fast from it. Set a goal. Say, I'm a fast whatever long. Don't say, well, man, some people do this for Lent. Well, you can call it whatever you want. I don't know what's the point in it. If it's already set for you and you do it because it's set, you get nothing out of it at all. Because it was set for you. And you've done it as a religious duty. This is not about religious duty. This is about your personal duty toward Yahweh after he gave his only son to die for us. And that shows a legitimate hunger and thirsting for righteousness because you didn't let somebody set some date for you. You need to discipline yourself to set your own goals in your life. You set the date. You set the time. Start small. Trust me, start small because it'll be difficult for you to step out and say, I'm going to do this. You set yourself up for failure. Why are your short-term goal? Because you need to have some sense of success. That's why you set short-term goals. If you want to set long-term goals, do that. Let me give you an example. A long-term goal would say, I'm going to personally read the Bible in this year. Okay? I'm going to personally read the Bible this year. So we could say, well, you know, we do Torah portions and all that and studying. So I did it. No, you didn't. You're forgetting what you said. You said, I'm going to personally read the Bible this year. So that's what you do. So you start, that's a whole separate thing than Torah portions and all that. So you that's a long-term goal, right? How long it takes? The year. The short-term goal is, I need to do this many chapters every day. If you don't accomplish your short-term goals, can you accomplish the long-term goals? Remember about crazy world, huh? Don't live there. Because you never get there. Fasting has the effect of cleansing out the body. What is fasting for? It cleanses the body. Things that a believer who loves the Lord, they won't do these things. A person who genuinely loves God, they won't do these things. But because the body's infected, the body has whatever's going on in it. If you don't fast, it don't clean out the body. So you're going to have that constantly being there. Fasting has the effects of cleaning out the body. The same thing can happen in your soul by choosing to deny yourself a legitimate pleasure for a season. This is a great way to bring appetites that have become inordinate back under control. They get out of control, you bring them back in control. Your body don't want to listen to you anymore. It's not functioning properly. What do? You say, I've got to do something about it. That's physically, you can think about this in a physical sense. If your body's doing something it shouldn't be doing, you know it. What do? You got to do something about it. That's just the way it is. You can do it the world's way. The world says if you just do this, it'll be fine. Or you can do it God's way. And God's way is fasting from legitimate pleasures that bring back that healthy appetite to do the things that are right. You got to do these individually. Each of us take that responsibility to do that. Number three, make yourself available to the needs of others. Wow. Make yourself available to the needs of others. But refuse profane and old wives' fables. And exercise thyself rather unto, what? Righteousness. What did he tell Timothy? Exercise thyself rather unto righteousness. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness is getting in a position where you make yourself available to the needs of others. So to do that, you got to be at your what? You want to be at your best. Right? If you're going to talk about, if you're talking about health, you got to talk about health. If you're talking about health, can you do that being unhealthy? It wouldn't go over so well. It wouldn't go over well at all. Because you got to exercise yourself and to get yourself unto righteousness. You got to get prepared for what God's word is and what he's going to use you for. So make sure you take that in consideration. So say you're in a position where you're going to talk with somebody. Maybe they're going through something. They call you and say, hey, I'm having a tough time. There's this one guy, this one lady. I'm just having a tough time. I want to hurt them. Okay. Well, if you're struggling with hurting somebody, you're probably not the person they should have called. Because if you start out with me too, that's not the answer they needed. Right? Oh, I know how you feel because I want to do the same thing. Oh, boy, y'all both in trouble. You don't start off with me too. You got to start off with, let me tell you, I felt that way, but I changed the way my approach was. That's what they need to hear. How do you do that? You make yourself available to the needs of others. You don't realize how bad you need a hunger and thirst for righteousness because somebody is going to reach out to you. They're going to need your advice. And that's important for your life. You got to be able to help that person. So what do? But refuse profane and old wise fables. There's certain conversations that we get into that are not healthy to our body. They're not healthy. And when I talk about the body, think about it as the body of Christ. Am I making the body of Christ healthy or unhealthy? What am I doing to the body of Christ? What's my position? You're all here in the body of Christ. How many believe you're in the body of Christ? What are you doing to make it healthy? What are you doing? What advice have you given people? Are you giving advice that you can't live by yourself? Are you telling somebody to do something that you've never done? These are important questions that we have to answer. So I refuse profane and old wives' fables. There's certain conversations and things that we don't need to be involved in. But what do? Exercise thyself rather unto righteousness. Exercise yourself. How many of you know what happens when you exercise yourself? Is it going to feel good at the beginning? Well, no, it's not going to feel good. You're going to be sore because you exercise when you used to exercise and then you didn't. You go back and try to do it again. What happens? You get sore. That's just the way it is. But at least you know you're doing something. Man, I'm hurting in spots I didn't know can hurt. There you go. But you keep doing it. But that's what happens. The moment we feel a little bit soreness, we back away. My appetite is junk food. That's what my appetite is. You have to do that. Are you going to feel? How do you know you fasted? You should feel that you missed it. You should feel that you missed it. You back away from it because you're after something different. Very important. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some should depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Notice what he says here. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which Elohim had created, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of Elohim is good, and nothing to be refused if he be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of Elohim and prayer. How is it sanctified? By the word of Elohim and prayer. Remember that, not just praying. By the word of Elohim, meaning you can't take in something that the word don't declare you can. It's sanctified if it declares you can, and prayer. Notice that. You can pray all day long over something, but if God didn't authorize it, it'll never happen. It's not going to benefit you. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Yeshua, Messiah. What do? Put the brethren, the ones in the body of Christ, in remembrance of these things. Nourish up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Nourish up. Very important. You're going to get nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, exercising thyself rather unto righteousness. And he goes on and explains this. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Let me see that. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but holiness is profitable unto all things. All things. Having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So how many want to stay healthy? So let's talk about health for a little bit. Even though this is not a health teaching, but we talk about hungering and thirsting. So we talk about health. He says, bodily exercise profiteth little because it's a standalone. Well, I'm just going to get healthy because I can be. That's fine. You can be, but that's not the position of the believer. What the believer's position is, you can set a goal for health. I'm talking about health, not soul healthy. I'm talking about physical health right now. You can set a goal for physical health, but it don't come as a standalone. What does it bring with it? It increases spiritual health in your soul. It's very important. I'm going to read it again. He said, for bodily exercise profiteth little by itself, but holiness is profitable unto all things, including what I just read, having the promise of the life that now is. What's the now is life? You're looking at it. How many wants a good life that you can look at? What about the one that's to come? They both work together. So when you're doing this, you're doing it all at one time. So whatever you do physically to help yourself, you always tell the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm doing this because I know it's the right thing to do, but it's not going to profit me because you said it profits little unless you bless it. The hand of God. So what's happening? If you don't seek righteousness at the same time, you get no benefit, even though you can look sharp. Everybody likes to look sharp. You can look sharp, but if you don't seek righteousness, you're still unhealthy physically. Physically, because the mind, unhealthy mind, will create an unhealthy body. Unhealthy minds creates unhealthy body. You can look sharp, you can look the part, and then it won't take long, you drop dead. Because the mind's not healthy. And he's talking about doing them together. How many thank God for that? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception. For therefore we both labor to suffer reproach because we trust in the living Elohim, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. What did he say to do? These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer. How? In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. What? What? Is he talking about these over here? Maybe so. Till I come and give attendance to the reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Where's the gift? In you. Everybody raise your hand if you got a gift on you in your life. All right? Every hand should be up. Every hand, raise your hand. You got a gift in your life. You say, I don't have no gift. You do. You're gifted. You got a gift in your life. If you're a believer, there's a gift in you. If you're a non-believer, there's a gift in you. You've been designed by God. He knows what he's doing. You're gifted. There's a gift in each one of you. Their gifts are different. All gifts the same. What did he say in Corinthians? They're not the same. They got they're differences. Every person here has got a gift in you. You can't neglect that gift. My gift, I just don't know what it is. You're not going to know unless you do this. Hunger and thirst for righteousness that's going to come to the, it's just going to flourish up. He said, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, by the laying on of hands, and by the presbyter. So these are very important principles that he's telling Timothy. These are important to you. Meditate on these things, giving thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself, unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Save yourself and those that hear you. That's my goal. My goal is I got to make sure I save myself and those that hear me. I got to make sure I pay attention when I'm reading the scripture, how important this is, because it's invaluable to God. If not, there's no reason for me to be doing what I'm doing. It's important. Your life is important. It's valuable. I wouldn't even take this time to go this far. I'm doing it because your life has value to it. I'm trying to get you to understand that you see that value. You see how important that is. You neglect the gift that's in you. If you want that gift to really shine, seek first righteousness. Make some changes in your life. Create healthy appetites. Cultivate these appetites so your habits are going to be good. Set, You got to set short-term goals. You have to do this. There's no, I don't know, me, I don't do goals. Well, you're never going to succeed in life. Not going to succeed. You might be one circumstance away from missing it altogether. Who here wants to not make it? Let me see your hand if you don't want to make it. You don't want to accept eternal life. You just want to die and you'll be dead. That's it. Ain't nobody raising a hand on that. We want to make it. Well, you make it, you got to set some goals. If you don't set goals, where are you headed? What's your goal? One of my long-term goals is that I'm working till he comes. I'm doing something till he comes. I want to see him when he returns. That's a long-term goal. I'm looking forward to that. Well, I know if I'm going to reach that goal, I can't do nothing. I got to do something about that. And that's important to you and to the Lord. Make yourself available to the needs of others, and your hunger and thirst for righteousness will increase. You can't see yourself, well, I got to do it. I got to live my life. What about others? Did Yeshua do that? Or did he make himself available to others? Did he make himself available? He put himself out there. He was vulnerable to the needs of others. We need to make ourselves the same way. Very important. So the way you live your life, does it encompass that? It should. Simply seeing yourself as a Christian who needs to receive all the time will make you spiritually dull. If you're believing, it's all about you. I got to get something from the Lord. You can become spiritually dull. But serving others will stimulate your spiritual appetite. Serving others will stimulate your spiritual appetite. And you'll get a hunger for righteousness. It just comes over you. I can't wait. So you maybe some of your short-term goals. Let me help you out. Here's some short-term goals. I'm going to be in church on Sunday. Do that for 21 days. Saturday, I'm going to go to church. Do that for 21 days. Thursday night, I'm going to go to prayer meeting. You know what that does to your calendar? You're going to have to change some things. Right? But remember, that's creating, we're cultivating what? A healthy appetite. That's very important. That's just some things, it's suggestions. Can I do it for 21 days? I don't know. Number four, use your blessing and troubles as incentives to feed on Messiah. Use your blessings and troubles as incentives to feed on Messiah. What did he say in John 6? I am the bread of life. If anyone eat this bread, he will live forever. In verse 51, so 48 and 51, he said, I'm the bread of life. Very important. There are two things that provoke appetite. Number one, exercise. And number two, sauce. Now, this is 16, in the 1600s, Thomas Watson makes this statement. Okay, Thomas Watson, he was a writer, and he makes this statement right here. Two things that provoke appetite. He was asked this question about it, and so he makes this statement. Exercise and sauce. Now, we from South Louisiana. This shouldn't shock us. This was done, when he did it, this he was talking about in Europe. And the food is bland, so you need something to help the food out. So he was making a reference to the physical body, what gets you going, what makes you hungry. If you order something in Europe back then, you knew it was coming just plain Jane. So you would ask, do you have some sauce to go with it? Because sauce will give me an appetite for it. Now in South Louisiana, we got sauce with everything. We get sauce for sauce. That's just the way it is. But that's why everybody wants to eat. Right? So I'm at the doctor's office, and I was talking with the doctor, and I said, well, let me ask you something. Do you ever go off your diet that you're on? He said, when I visit Louisiana, I got a saying, it's 90-10. 90% of my diet is good. But when I'm in Louisiana, 10% is going to, I'm going all out. I said, why Louisiana? Who wants to cheat in Mississippi? You want some food with sauce. You want etouffee. You getting off, right? So it's got sauce. That's what makes you go. So that's what we're going to talk about just for a little bit. What we doing? There are two things that provoke appetite, exercise and sauce. Yahweh increases our hunger and thirst for righteousness by the sweet sauce of our blessings, the sharp sauce of our trouble, and the hot sauce of our persecution. Yahweh increases our hunger and thirst for righteousness by the sweet sauce of our blessing. You know what makes me want to keep going? When I think about how good he is to me. The sweet sauce of my blessing and the sharp sauce of my troubles. See, when you're in trouble, that's the time to get more hungry for righteousness. It's sharp. I don't like it, but I'm going anyway because that's what I need. And the hot sauce of my persecution. This one, we really need to take it probably a little bit lighter than in other countries where they're really persecuted. Because I was thinking about this, just leaving it out. Because I'm trying to figure out who in here been persecuted lately because you're serving God. And there is some persecution, there's no doubt about it. Some people can be outright just rude about you, the stand you take. But I don't. The problem with persecution is there's not a big, heavy stand. We compromise. So if you compromise, you don't get persecuted. But if you stand for truth, you're probably going to be persecuted. So if you want to experience some hot sauce of persecution, you're going to have to take a bigger stand. What does that mean? If it's wrong, it's what it is. Nothing you can say to make it right. You can lie about it, but does it make it right? If God's word said we shouldn't do it and it's being done, we ought to say it. Now, you're going to suffer persecution for that. You're not going to be liked. Now, maybe as a whole church, maybe our church as a whole is suffering a little persecution because we took a stand. Did we take a stand on just empty words, or is it proven in Scripture? If we take that stand, you might suffer persecution. That's just what it is. Well, I'd like to go to church, but I ain't going to your church. That's fine. Should the church change? Should we change what the word says because you want people to come? Shouldn't do that. Nor should it do it because of what you do. Participation in activity is going to be easy or hard for you based on your stand for God. Because if you want to go and sit and fill, you can sit and fill. Trust me. You can do that. Just don't say nothing about God. But if you talk up, you're not going to be invited next time. Persecution. Is anybody ready for the hot sauce of persecution? You're only going to get there if you're hungry and thirst for righteousness. Because the more you stand in his righteousness, the less you're going to be liked. Because the world hated him, and they're going to hate you also. Did he not say that? It hated me, it's going to hate you if you're doing what I'm telling you to do. But if you want to be liked by the world, you don't have a whole lot of hot sauce in your life. And we know how much we like hot sauce in Louisiana. Right? When blessing comes, learn to say, Yahweh is good. I want to know more of him. When troubles and difficulties, persecution come, learn to say, my flesh and my heart may fail, but Elohim is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That's what I'm relying on. My flesh and my heart may fail, but Elohim is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 73 Verse 26. Spiritual hunger and thirst shall be satisfied. That's the last part. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be satisfied. You might say you hunger and thirst and are not satisfied. Perhaps Yahweh is not satisfied with your level of hunger and thirst. Are you not entertained? Man, I'm glad you showed me that video. I didn't know how well it would go with this. I was saying, man, I was going to show it, but it's more than you. We need to hear, see. But it sure worked out. Let me read that one again, because this is one for the books. You might say you hunger and thirst and are not satisfied. Perhaps Yahweh is not satisfied with your level of hunger and thirst. Where's your level of hunger and thirst? You ever thought of it that way? Am I really doing it the way he's? Because don't ever put it on him where he's not doing what he said. If you reach the level that he accepts and requires of you, you're going to be satisfied. You're going to be. I can tell you, nobody in here can make it without satisfaction. It's just the way it is. I don't care what you're doing in life. If you're doing anything in life and you don't reach satisfaction, you're going to quit. That's just what we do. And you shouldn't. If you can't get satisfied, why do it? Why do it? But to blame it, well, I'm just not getting satisfied. You always check your level of hunger and thirsting. Are you doing the way God prescribed? Because that's important. Those who hunger after righteousness shall be filled. Yahweh never bids us to seek him in vain. Are we seeking him in vain? Well, not so. Isaiah 45, verse 18. For thus said Yahweh that created the heavens, Elohim himself that formed the earth and made it and had established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. Remember that. Did he create the earth in vain? No, he didn't. What did he form it for? To be inhabited. He's not trying to get everybody out of here and clean. He wants to still. He created it for human beings, you and I. I am Yahweh, and there is none else. Notice this. Have I not spoken in secret in a dark place in the earth and said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain? You're not doing what you're doing for nothing. That's why I highlighted that. You're not seeking him in vain. Seeking him is not, you're going to get to where he wants you to be. You will be satisfied. I can't emphasize it enough. You will be satisfied. You just, when you're doing it the right way, you can then pray and say, Lord, bless what I'm doing. If what I'm doing is right, bless. If what I'm doing is wrong, show me the change. What's the necessary changes I have to make? He'll do that for you. He's not trying to put us through some obstacle course of failure. He said, I don't teach you to seek me in vain. If I'm telling you to seek me, even in the difficult times, even when it's going hard, I can tell you there's a prize. There's a prize waiting you. I, Yahweh, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Notice the words here. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together. Ye that are escaped of the nations, ye have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven images and pray unto an El that cannot save. Then he's telling them what you've done is absolutely wrong. You did it your way, but it can't save you. Cannot save. When you see cannot save, pay attention to why. What's the phrase before that? What caused them to cannot be saved? They took graven images, made idols of wood, and served them. Tell ye and bring them near, yea. Let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient times? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I, Yahweh? He's telling us, I did this, and there is no Elohim else beside me, a just El and a Savior. There is none beside me. How many get that? Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am El, and there is none else. You think maybe he's trying to reiterate something to us? He's it. I have sworn by myself, the word is going out of my mouth in righteousness. In what? In righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Notice what he's saying. If you don't believe me, go and do what you want to do. Keep them bad appetites. Keep all of that going. Do whatever you want. But he's saying at the end, there's a payday. Every knee is going to bow. Every voice is going to swear. Every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in Yahweh I have righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are increased against him shall be ashamed. In Yahweh shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Yahweh can fill the hungry soul. He's trying to tell us that by that passage. He fills the hungry soul. He is called a fountain. Notice that he is called a fountain. With you is the fountain of life. With you is the fountain of life, Psalms 36, 9. The cistern may be empty and cannot fill us. Creatures are often broken cisterns. Remember, my people have committed two evils. But the fountain is filling. Yahweh is a fountain. If we bring the vessel of our desire to this fountain, he will be able to fill them. I don't care if it's got a hole in it. What happens if you got constant flow? Listen, if you got a 55-gallon drum, and you got a 5-gallon bucket, and you got to run and down to the river and scoop the bucket up and come and fill the 55-gallon drum. But at the bottom of the 55-gallon drum, they got a hole in it. And depending how big the hole is, the time it takes you to go get the next 5-gallon bucket, you're not gaining. You might gain a little bit, and then before you know it, about the 10th or 12th buck, you're going to start to get, I'm getting worn out. Can you keep up with the hole going out? But what if you had a hose that was like a fountain just dumping in? It's got a hole still. It's going to start overflowing because the mount going in, the part going out can't compare. And what happens? Once that happens, now you're in a position to fix the hole. Now you finally got in a position to repair the breach. But until then, you're wasting your time. You're trying to get it full, but it won't happen. Well, how do you do that? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Get hungry and thirsty for righteousness. It changed your life. Very important. Psalms 36. The transgression of the wicked, say within my heart, that there is no fear of Elohim before his eyes. Notice this. I want you to hear this chapter. No fear of Elohim before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes. He flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. Listen, don't flatter yourself in your own eyes. It's very dangerous. You doing things right, God will put somebody there, or he himself will let you know you're doing good. But when you tell yourself you're doing good and you're not doing good, you're flattering yourself. Don't do that, because what happens to that person? What happens to that person? His iniquity will be found to be hateful. People do hateful things because they think themselves to be something when they're not. The hatefulness, a lot of times we think it's toward others. You got to hate yourself to go against God. Not to mention, you'll have a hatred for other people. You know the people that you hate? The ones who tell you the right thing. The ones who speak life into you instead of just getting you to think that what you're doing is right. It's not. And this is what happens. You flatter yourself, you wind up in that position. And I was reading this and I said, Lord, you know, that's so true. He flattered himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. Just you listen to him, it's just constant. That's what a talk becomes. He has left off to be wise and to do no good. Well, who are we talking about? He's talking about the wicked. Who's a wicked person? One who won't agree with God. You disagree with the one who made you. God says, there's none beside me. I started all this stuff. And now, for some reason, the clay says to the one who made him, I don't need you. I got this. That's a wicked person. You know where? Remember, we live in crazy world if we think that way. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. We don't even see it as evil. We don't try to stay away from it. We constantly do it. And understand that. Look at this. Look at this saying. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. They're not just in the daytime, even at night. At night, what you supposed to be doing? What's your goal set at night? Who's got a goal set at night? Let me give you a good one. Here's a good goal set. A good goal set is you read the Bible. I gave this one to you before, but that's not be number two. So 60 seconds in the morning, number two. At night, just read the Bible. One chapter, whatever it is. Two, three, whatever it is. But you don't miss a single night. I don't care if you get home late from town. So what? What excuse is that? We went to the movies, man. By the time we got home, I was exhausted. Don't ever get too exhausted that you can't take whatever long it takes to pick the Bible up and you read before you go to sleep. That's a goal set. When do I do it? Every day. Why not? Why not? Who wants to create good habits? Who wants to cultivate a good appetite? That's a good appetite. How long I do it? You keep doing it. 21 days. That should be your goal. After 21 days, you're going to just keep doing it. This is going to be automatic. Because you remember, you reach that goal of 21 days, you have to ask yourself this question. Did I do it to reach this goal, or did I do it to change my life? If I did it to change my life, I'm going to read every time. Every time. And let me tell you, the hardest time to do it is when you wore yourself out all day long and you got home late, sometime in the wee hours of the morning you got home. What do you do? It might be wee hours of the morning, but I have set a goal in my life and I will not sleep until I read this. Try it. It'll help you. Other than that, this is what people do. They devise mischief on the bed. Verse 5, Thy mercy, O Yahweh, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Think about that. Thy mercy, O Yahweh, is in the heavens. Remember we just sang this song? And thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountain, and thy judgments are great deep. O Yahweh, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O Elohim. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied. Remember what we were talking about? Shall be satisfied. They, those who do it right, shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. And thou shalt make them drink of the rivers of thy pleasure. Who wants to drink from the rivers of his pleasure? What does God want for your life? Does he want you? He wants you to be blessed. But we don't seek the blessing. We seek to do the things right. The blessing comes as a residual effect. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be satisfied. I don't have to seek the blessing. It's automatic in my life. Satisfaction comes when I do what God has asked me to do. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. That right there is a message all its own. In thy light shall we see light. And I'm just going to leave it at that. That needs to be visited. That is a powerful statement there. In thy light we shall see light. What are we trying to get back to? Clothed back with the glory. Does his light diminish? No, it's in his light. In his light. We got to look toward his light. He's in brightness, the glory of God. When you look into my glory, when you look into my glory, then you can put on the glory. Because remember, that's what Christ did. And that's why God gave him his glory. Very important. Valuable to understand. Oh, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of the pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. In Jeremiah 2:13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and have hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. That's important to understand. So that was the two points that were made. And lastly, I put this in here. This is some of the thoughts that I had this morning. This is just to finish this up. I said, Lord, how do we finish this? The haves and the should haves. You don't want to be the one that's the should haves. God has something for you. It's up to you to receive it. How many want to receive what God has for you? Let me just read it to you. Verse number 8 of Psalms. He says, "Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me." Let me see these qualifiers. What we got to do? Hear and hearken. Think about that. There shall no strange L be in thee. What does he say? They're where? In you. Why would anybody serve another God? Because it's in them to do it. There's not some outside influence that's compelling you. It gets inside of you. And so you'll have an allegiance to that. Whatever's inside of you, you're motivated by what's in. If you got junk food here and you don't consume the junk food, can it affect you physically? It can't affect you. You can have a dump truck full of it, dump it in your yard. It can't affect you. I got a whole dump truck load of junk food. What is it going to affect you? No. But if you consume it, it's where? It's in you. That can create some serious problems for you. So he says, Hear, O my people, and I will, you got to hear, I will testify unto thee. And this is the Lord giving this testimony. He's telling us what's the result. O Israel, if thou will hearken unto me, hear and hearken, there shall no strange L be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange L. So you don't give allegiance to that. I am Yahweh, thy Elohim, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Let me see that. I will fill it. You know why you're not where you need to be? Because you got your mouth open to other things. And you did what you did because it's in you. Nobody coached you. You do what you do because it's in you. We got to get rid of that. That's why we got to cultivate good habits. Get rid of it. You are where you are because of you. Nobody did it. You can try that, but it won't work with God. Do you understand that? Very important. Valuable to understand. You got a strange L in you. You can't have him in you, nor can you worship the strange L. Now, worship is an outside. It's inward first, but it manifests on the outside. That's what worship is. It's inward, manifesting on the outside. When it manifests, it has to be directed to Yahweh only. Can you worship strange gods? Well, absolutely you can. Can you do it from an outside influence? That's not what he said. But if it's in you, you will. You accept that. You took in that. So notice that. There shall no strange L be in you, neither shall thou worship any strange L. I am Yahweh thy Elohim. And he talks about, if you open thy mouth wide, I will fill it. Verse 11, but my people would not hearken. What was the qualifier? One of them was hearken. Hear and hearken. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me, have none of me. Israel wouldn't have none of me, no matter what I said, they wouldn't hear nor hearken. What was the two qualifiers? Hear, hearken. But they wouldn't have nothing that I said, no matter what I said. Even today, you don't have to take anything I said. That's up to you. But we're going to talk about haves and have-nots. I'm going to show you when you wind up where you're going, you got you there. So I gave them up to their own heart's lust. I gave them up. This is Yahweh. He said, I gave them up to their own heart's lust. That's what you lusting at? Go and have a big old bite of it. You'll suffer from it. And they walked in their own counsel. They didn't want counsel from somebody else. They didn't want counsel from God. They took their own advice. I know I'm in trouble. I know I'm having a difficult time. I know I'm going through some difficulty. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to advise myself. You ready for this? Crazy world. That's living in crazy world. That's absolutely crazy. I'm going to give myself my own advice. Oh, that my people had hearkened. My people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. Why does he want you to do that? Well, he tells us. I should soon have subdued their enemy. Soon I would have subdued their enemies. And you know, you're up against the enemy, you think, man, it's not working for me. You got to hang in there. Just how hungry are you? We live in a society that wants right now results. Does it come that way? Don't come that way. It's amazing how it takes you years to get where you are, but you don't want to spend a week trying to get out of it. We just want it fast. It takes time. I should have soon subdued their enemy and turned my hand against their adversary. He said, I was about to deliver them. I had it all planned for them. The haters of Yahweh, then he talks about what they should have done. The haters of Yahweh should have submitted themselves unto him. They should have. But their time should have endured forever. He said, well, my expectation for their life was to endure forever. It should have been out of way. See, the haves and the have not. What you should have had, you didn't have. What you needed to do, you didn't do. How long does he want you to last? Forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of wheat. What's God's plan for you? Finest of wheat. And with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Notice that. God wants the best for us. So we made it through these four. And you can have or have not. Whatever it is a direct result on do you hear and do you hearken? Am I giving my all to him? It's up to you. It'll be a decision that needs to be made from your life. My prayer is that you would do something about it. Because what's coming is terrible. The results is terrible. There's no winning in the prize. You don't get it. And so my prayer is that you do something about it today. I said to you earlier, all four of these could be accomplished in a single service. These four. Just depends how humble we want to be with our life. These are residual effects. That's what automatically happens in your life because you did these. So what do I do with my life? Think about your life. What do I do every day that helps me grow in God? What do I do every day as a person? What do you do? My prayer is that you have some short-term goals set. If you don't, I would suggest you get a paper and you write those goals down. If you have problems with memorizing or keeping yourself, write it down. Get a piece of paper and write it down. So one of my short-term goals. I gave you some examples. They don't have to be that. You can do whatever it is that you feel, but it's got to be something. What's a short-term goal that you what's a legitimate pleasure that you need to fast from? You need to take some time to fast from this legitimate pleasure. What's something you do and you won't give that up? Man, that's you're into it. That's what you do. When's the last time you say, you know, we're going to take some time off from this? When are we going to do that? When I was doing the ticket thing, I don't know how many years, I subscribed. Then it come a point, I was like, man, you know what? I'm putting a lot of time in here. A lot of time. Back then, we had service on Sunday evening. And there would be times that I didn't want to miss because the game was good. One of them games where it was tight. And you think because you there, it's going to change the outcome. You're not one. How many are one of them fans? You know, you're one of them fans. You think if you there, you can change the outcome. I mean, that's a crazy world. That's crazy world. You're going to change the outcome because you shouted? The play's going to be the play. It's going to be what it is. Just because you was watching it, it ain't going to change it. Oh, man, last time what I did, I turned to the right and I didn't see. And it, man, it came out. So next time you're doing that. That's crazy. It's not going to happen. That's what it is. You don't ever know how it's going to be. But you start feeling that way. You feel like somehow you making a difference. And all you are is a spectator. You're watching. But you feel that way because you're in it. Well, once I gave that up, I realized that I didn't need that. Then I cultivated a different habit. And so it's been a long time since I bought a subscription to that. And I often now think about it. I was like, why did I do that? I mean, you only can watch so many anyway. But I had them all whether I watched them or not. I just felt that I needed them. I needed to have all the games at one time. But now it don't bother me because I cultivated something different. Cultivate a difference. So, and if that's what it is, again, I'm not saying it's not legit. A legitimate pleasure, just fast from it a little bit. You fast from it. There's things that you know. You know what it is that you need to do. If you're not doing that, you can't get healthier. You just can't. If you keep eating junk, you get that result. Do you understand? That's just what happens. So take some time to set some goals in your life. Goal set. Whatever that is. Who wants to try to do that? Well, you can make some goals in your life. I'm going to start doing this for the Lord. I get up in the morning, I'm going to pray. Whatever that is. Maybe you want to do more than 60 seconds. I was just using that as an example for you to show you how easy it is to have a success in the first 60 seconds of your morning. Because you need to have a sense of accomplishment. There's nothing more discouraging when you don't meet your goal. You got to have a goal set, set it, and make your goal. Maybe you need have a habit of listening to the radio in the morning. Where you listen to whatever station. You got to ask yourself, is that helping me? Is it Christian station? Is it not? Maybe your music. Maybe your music, you got to check that and say, well, man, I like this music and I don't really see nothing wrong with it. Again, nobody's saying it is. It might be a legitimate pleasure that you have, but why don't you fast from it and cultivate a good appetite? Mm-hmm. You understand? See what people want? This is what people want. You sit here and you don't realize it, but you really demand. You demand that the gladiator comes out and whoops up on everybody. That's what you demand. But when he tells you, you get mad. That's what it is. The truth is, what are you doing about what you need to do? What are you deciding to do with your life? I come out and tell you every Sunday. If you're expecting the word to be preached, that's what I'm going to do. But I can preach it, and we can all grow old in here together. And it won't benefit you one bit because you got to hear and hearken. That's something I can't hear for you and I can't hearken for you. You got to do it. You got to realize that it's something I need to do and do that to change your life forever. And let me tell you, we need change in our life. If you're fighting physical ailments in your body, you need change. How do you fix that? You do something about it. You can go to Crazy World. You can go visit Crazy World. They call them physicians. And they'll tell you, take this one pill and you'll be fine. Is that the way? Let me just share this before we leave. 5 years ago, I had a physical. And in my physical, I failed it. And I was like, man, I ain't never failed a physical in my life. I mean, I feel like I'm pretty active. I'm doing, okay. So doc told me, he said, and he's a friend of mine. He said, look, you can't let this go on. I mean, he said, look, I'll help you out. I'm going to help you out. But you got to do this. So he gave me a list of stuff that I had to get on. Some medication. So I was honest with him. I said, well, doc, I ain't never took medication in my life. He said, well, that's probably why you failed a physical. Okay, you the doctor, I'm the guy with the problem. So I got the prescription. And I started to take the medication. So immediately I felt like ill. Like, okay, I got more problems now. So I could go back and he'll probably give me something else because now I'm ill because of what I took. And then I said, look, I'm just not going to do it. Well, you know you got to do something because it affects your kidneys, everything. I mean, it's terrible. So I was running blood pressure 230 over 130. Okay, severe high blood pressure. I'm like, man, I don't know what's going on. But see, I didn't want to tell myself really what was going on. Because the body is smart. Blood pressure is an adaptation to something wrong in the body. It's not a disease. It's the body doing what it does. Your body is fearfully and wonderfully made. The body fixes itself if we give it a break. I didn't give it a break. So I went like that for 5 years. Well, it's time for my physical again, every 5 years. So the moment that happens, you succumb to fear. What are you going to do? Are you going to fast it or not? So I told Charlotte, I got to do something about it. I got to figure what's going on. Something's not right because you think it would just go away. And maybe it'll just happen on its own. It's not going to happen on its own. And did I pray about it? Often I prayed. I had hands laid on me. I did all that stuff right. Everything I could do right. But what you're asking from God if you're not willing to do something? What are you asking from God? So I started thinking, okay, Lord, I'm going to surround myself with your word. And I'm going to do something about this. Because I believe that your word is your word. Now, can God heal me instantly? Well, of course he can. But am I going to learn anything? For instant miracle, am I going to learn anything? Or do I need to change my appetite to cultivate good appetites and have a better habit in my life? Maybe that's what he wants for me. Because it's not going to go good. So I went to the first doctor. Oh, at first I failed I failed the physical. And I said, okay, now I'm on a time restraint because I got so many days to fix this. Because it's going to expire and I'm in trouble if I don't fix it. I mean, that's what I do for a living. I got to have it. So I went to a doctor and he checked it. And he went, oh boy, you're in trouble. We got to get you to the emergency room. And I said, well, what's causing it? He said, well, I don't know. But we got medicine to fix that. He said, that medicine will drop that thing in a heartbeat. They got some good one now. I said, but don't they have side effects? He said, well, yeah, they have side effects, but that don't matter. We can get you a good reading for the physical. We'll get you the right reading. We know how to get the right reading. So what he's saying is, we get the numbers to say the right thing, but you're still sick, and we don't know how to fix that. So what we'll do, we'll just keep you on it for the rest of your life. And you got to get, just, is it what it is? And I said, well, Doc, I don't know if I'm doing that. He said, well, give me a week. So we did some things, went back the next week. He went, man, it's worse. He said, it's worse. I said, okay, we got to do something different. So I said, are you willing to help work with me or whatever? He said, this is more than I can. You're in trouble. You ought to be in the hospital. That's what you need to be. He said, look on the bright side. I got high blood pressure too. This is what he told me. He said, I got it too. He said, I got to pass the physical because I fly. And he said, I'm failing mine. I went, all right, see ya. He can't help me because he ain't helping himself. Right. So I got my stuff. I left. And I went somewhere else. So I go somewhere else, and I pop in there, and they check me. What's your problem? I put it on there. They check me. Whoo, they all come out. Man, you got to go to the emergency room. I said, look, I've been battling this for a long time. And I explain what my point is. I explain them that I'm a pastor, a guide. I believe the Lord can help me, but I'm doing something wrong, and I want to know what it is to fix it. So they said, oh, we got you. We'll get you fixed. So I went 2 weeks with them. And they said, no problem and all this stuff. And then they start talking about what we got to get you on right away is the blood pressure medicine. We just got to get you on it. I said, well, I thought we talked about that. We was going to do some things. And I said, I'm very strict on my diet. I said, oh, that's good. That's good. But you got to get on it. You just got to. Why? Because we'll get your number right. We'll get that number right. I guarantee you that number's going to be right. You'll pass that physical. I said, yeah, but why am I having it? We don't know. I said, but shouldn't we want to find out? So they said, well, look, we don't do this here, but there's this lady that works for us at the front desk. Go ask her. She knows somebody. So I went up there and got the information from the lady, and she said, yeah, you go to Mississippi. Go to Mississippi. These people, they nutritionists. They'll do all your blood. They'll check you from the top to the bottom. They'll check everything. So we hauled it to Mississippi. Got up there, and they drew 12 tubes of blood from me, and he said, we'll figure it out. We're going to figure out why it's like this. We're going to figure this out. But in the meantime, you need to get on medication. You need to get on. You got to. I said, well, let me tell you what I'm doing first. He said, well, what you doing? You're doing everything right. You're on your way. But you cannot. And that day, now this is that day, I read 230 over 130 on their machine. Okay? And he said, man, it's crazy. I said, well, this is what we'll do. I gave him some time to read. I went up there. I had to fast because I had to be on a fast for the blood work. Went back for the reading of the screen. And he read the screen, and he said, look, this is what's going on. They figured out the blood is high, right? That wasn't hard. But all my counts, everything come back. It was all, everything good, but I had some issues with my kidney. I figured that would show up. I've been dealing with this for a while. So he said, we'll put you on these supplements. These supplements, there's got to be something that you're missing. And so I was deficient in certain vitamins and all this stuff. Because the blood work tells you everything. It's all there. Urine sample, they did everything. And so I'm sitting there, and I said, look, just work with me. We're going to get this. And the whole time I'm praying, Lord, just bless what I'm doing. And if I'm doing something wrong, tell me, I'm going to change it. So I changed my diet completely. And then I got my own monitor. And I noticed that my monitors that I have cost more than theirs. Because I told the one guy, the second guy I went to, I said, y'all checking my blood with that thing? I said, I got one in the car that costs way more than that. And the lady said, oh, I know, my honey. These are guys in the Stone Age. I've been trying to tell them they got to get a new pressure thing to check, but they don't want to spend no money. So I wasn't going to go back there. You know, I mean, they don't own you. They're telling you to do this, but they're not putting it in their body. So I said, look, I'm done with these guys. So anyway, so I get my blood work done, and I start on the thing. And all of a sudden, the guy said, listen, one of the things, you got to quit checking your blood pressure. Okay? He said, you're checking it too often. Give yourself, you can't check it 3 times a day. Because it got to me. I said, that's fine. The Lord kept me this far. You got to give God some time to keep you. Can he keep you? Well, sure he can. So I waited a week and I checked it. I went from 230 to 154 on my top number. And then I went from 130 to 96 on my bottom. Still high. But not so. I was extremely high. You understand? So I've said, Lord, I might be doing something right, but is there something else? What should I do? And so I was praying. I said, Lord, I just want to do whatever it is, but I know that I'm not getting on medication because I read all the stuff about medication. I'm not doing it. So I'm ready. If I die, that's what it's going to be. But the one thing I know, if I did that, I did follow in you, period. I'm going to trust you. And I'm not going to eat junk or anything. So I went strict on a diet. Now, I was praying, and I said, Lord, it got to be somebody else because even these guys, they don't. So I told my wife, I said, these people right here in Mandeville, call them. I have to fish. So call them and talk to them and see. Explain seriously. And I'd watched all sorts of things. So she called them, and Charlotte, I got home. She said, look, I set your appointment up. We got to go tomorrow. It sounds like they can check your heart. Nobody wanted to check my heart. I'm like, check my heart, you know, let's see what's going on. Maybe it's my heart. So they have the heart. So I get on a heart monitor and they check my heart. They're going to check everything. So but when I got there, I sit in the waiting room and I'm sitting there and I notice I'm singing a song. I'm like, man, I don't ever sing these songs. That's why I'm singing them. It's all Christian music playing in the waiting room. I'm like, man, this is a Christian place, I guess. Because that's all they, and I look, they got a Bible sitting on the table there. I'm like, I look, there's a saying on the wall here, all from the scripture. I'm like, man, these people must, so I listen to the reception, she's singing a song. The lady in the back, she's singing a song. I'm like, man, they doing praise and worship right here in the office. I said, this is where I want to be. I already felt good. I want to be here. So I went and done a consultation. I explained my whole situation with him. Took him back from 5 years ago. And what he said, I can help you. He says, number one, God made you. He knows exactly how your body works. Your body is self-regulating and can heal itself. I said, boy, you are my guy. I told him that. Keep talking. He said, if it's not in the Garden of Eden, why would you eat it? Okay. You got my attention. So he said, let me test your heart before you leave. Let me put you, because he never checked my blood because I showed him my reading that it did fall. So he said, let me check your heart, put you on a heart. So put me in there and he come back. And what it was, I tested where I was stuck in a fight or flight mode, meaning that my heart never rests. I never go in a rest stage, even when I'm sleeping. Constantly going, 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 going. He said, something has happened however many years ago that you got stuck in that. And so I said, well, could it have been a Katrina or whatever? I said, we run. I haven't stopped running since then. He said, it could be. I don't know. He said, but regardless if we figure out what it was, you are stuck in a fight or flight mode. And your body is not repaired itself, and we don't know how long it's been. So what's going to happen to your blood pressure? It's going to increase to adapt to the situation. It's a natural process that God put in your body. It increases automatic to fix what's wrong. And so I've been stuck in that fight or flight the whole time. And so I did all the stuff, and he tested everything. And so we go back tomorrow, and we're going to have the results. But I feel better. My blood pressure is checking good. As a matter of fact, if I lived in Europe, I would have perfect blood pressure. Isn't that amazing? Because I live here, I don't. Because in America, they say your blood pressure's got to be really low. But in Europe, the higher blood pressure has a longer survival rate than people that live in America because they don't buy the garbage, the crazy world talk. But I got to pass exams that are regulated by America. But if right now, I'm perfect shape. I've checked everything that could be checked in my body to cancer, everything, all come back negative. And if I lived in Europe, I wouldn't be telling you this story. That's crazy world. But I'll tell you this so y'all know what's going on. So I'm doing everything I can about it. But I can't ask God to bless anything that I don't do. Same thing with you. If you want change in your life, you want to hunger and thirst after righteousness, you want to take care of your body, you got to do something about it. Nobody can do it for you. You make some life changes. Do what's right. If you do that, your life will change. You want to live longer? You want to live longer? Make some life changes. Don't go around saying, well, I've been doing this all my life. Well, you ain't got much more to do it. What about living longer? What about pleasing God? You want to live your life that pleases God, not please yourself. The reason you talk that way, because we get addicted to the stuff. We don't want that. So tomorrow we're going to get the results. But I'm thankful. I just want to thank God, give him the glory, that I'm on my way to being what he wants me to be. Because I wasn't, and that was my own fault. I did it to me. Nobody did it to me. And you got to be willing to admit that. You can't do it. Sometimes you say, well, what about it? Don't matter what everybody else is doing. It doesn't matter. It matters what you're doing. What's going on in your life? So I would encourage you that you take some time to goal set in your life. Take some time to watch God do what he wants to do in your life. He'll do it. He will. Let's stand together.